morning. This is September the 6th, 2020. And we're going to do a teaching here, just for a short one. Meditation before creation is the title of it. Meditation before creation. You cannot run without a vision. Even God didn't run without a vision. That's Habakkuk 2. Let me find it here. 2:2-3. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon tables, that you may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. God set this very example for us in the beginning before he created. He had a vision. He created the earth. Verse 1, Genesis 1:1 says he created the earth, and then the earth was without void. So something happened. So then God's spirit began to hover over the mess. And then he spoke, light be. And then, you know, he went and created the 6 days. God did not let what he saw to cause the circumstances to remain the same. His spirit moved upon the face of the waters. I looked a lot of words up on this one. It says, in the Strong's, moved means to brood. Brood. Think about brood. Have you ever had a brooding child? They're always, look like they got a frown on their face. They're always thinking, you know, brooding. This is what the Noah's Dictionary, 1828 Dictionary says. Brood, to have the mind uninterruptedly dwell on a long time on a subject. Isn't that what meditation is? Yeah. Meditate means to dwell on anything in thought, to contemplate, to study, to turn or revolve any subject in the mind. Brother Hagin used to call it chewing the cud. Well, you know, chewing the cud is the reason they chew cud is because that's what doesn't digest, and they continue to chew it until it's digested. And that's the way the word works in us. When it becomes part of us, then we speak it. Yeah. Satan comes with his propaganda to give you a vision to meditate on that is rooted in fear. He certainly does not want you acting like God. God changed the order of things by meditating, then speaking the changes into existence. He changed the mass, the earth covered in water, no life in it at all. First, he spoke life back in. And this is what Jesus taught his disciples about the kingdom of God. He gave them an object lesson. Mark 11:22-24. We'll look at that. All right, he didn't ask us to do this in our own faith. Well, it'd help by getting Mark a second. He says here, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. The original translation really is have the God faith, God's faith, the measure of faith that's been given to us by God. Take God's faith, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, that you have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things ever you desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them, you shall have them. I remember a situation, it was a hard situation, but I remember praying, and the Lord told me to draw a line in the sand and to speak a certain thing. And I did. I spoke exactly what he told me to speak, and when I did, within 24 hours, I saw change. I mean, I got up the next day and it was changed. So you will see that you can't doubt the vision. That's why you meditate. That's why you pray about things. You pray about situations until he says, well, if, you know, it's kind of like saying, well, if you were well, you'd get up and walk. Or if you were, you know, if you really believe you got the supply, then you'd get up and act like it was so. Okay. All right. You see it if you won't doubt the vision. Doubt not in your heart, but believe what you say. So your words have a vision. You're speaking, you're proclaiming the vision that you've got inside. You've meditated and gotten the vision. That's what you're speaking. Just like God got, He gave voice to everything that you saw the first day of creation. Okay, Isaiah, this is a good one, I thought was good. Isaiah 40. We read it for a lot of things, but it really applies in this situation. It looks like someone that meditates and gets the answer and rises up victorious. Verse 29 says, He gives power to the faint and to them that have no might increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So they're waiting on the Lord. In the flesh there, you know, all men faint, even youth. But when you wait on the Lord, He empowers you and strengthens you to rise up. Okay. Strong's there on wait means to bind together by twisting, collect, to expect. Have you ever heard the expression, collect your thoughts? So you're made in the image and likeness of God. He expects you to act like Him. It's in your nature. It's in your spiritual DNA to act like Him. Well, it really is in your natural. Do you suppose that Adam did some collective thinking before he named the animals? Some of the names of those animals, I don't think that's something that you just off the top of your head. All right. All humans do this. God did this. This is natural for humans to do. Just think about it. How many times do you sit and you reflect on what's happening to you that's not good and brood on it? Before we do something, we ponder it first, right? You have a vision in your mind, what somebody did to you, so what somebody said to you, what... This is how I decorate. Something just drops in me. I get a vision of something, and then I start with that one step. Before I know it, I've finished that room, go into the next room, go into the next room, go to the next room. I've done that many times. I'd have just part of it. I'd do part of it, and then I'd get the next part of it. Isn't that the way a ministry is? Isn't that the way really everything should be? As a speaking spirit made in God's likeness and image, you are made to create. It is natural for you to do so. We need to quit saying it's so hard. I just don't seem to get it. Yeah, you get it. You just need to switch it from negative to positive is really probably the only thing you really need to do. Is beat the devil in his own game. Think about the positive instead of the negative. Because human nature will take you to the negative. But God's nature is always going to be the positive. I'll run and not be weary. I'll walk and not faint. All right. God is saying to you today, just like He did to Adam, call it what you want it. Wait. Get the vision. Then when it's down on that piece of paper or whatever, God's spoken, then run with it. That's what you're supposed to do. Our problem is not letting Satan sabotage us. He would get us into the flesh. I want to read a story about the ministry of Jesus that reflects this so much. And this is the way God wants us to walk. This is John. Not letting our flesh get in the way. Verse 1. 11, John. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and his mother Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard thereof that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that he said to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. I see restraint here in Jesus. He tarried 2 days, knowing his friend was sick. He didn't let, these are my best friends. I better run to them. I better do something. We just got to do something. Isn't that normally the way it is? Just do stuff. Just stuff. No. Jesus knew that this was for the glory of God, so he waited till he got an answer. He got a leading to proceed. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Now, if he had just rushed to the scene, there wouldn't have been any raising from the dead. I'm convinced of it. He was learning to move within God's timeline concerning things. Instead of thinking, well, bless God, I ought to be doing better than this. This ought to be doing different. Because maybe we hadn't heard anything on anything. Well, it's been what I've learned is, if you're not getting anything, don't do anything. Because once you step out and do something, a lot of times it's come too late. You blew it. You blew the opportunity. It's always, I think, wise to wait to move out. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. You know, and then when he got there, they put a guilt trip on him. If you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. It'd be hard to not say, kiss it, sister. But Jesus didn't do that. He said, didn't I tell you? All right, let me look over here. All right. He spoke that to, I don't know if it's Martha or Mary. Look. All right, verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But she said this, I know that even now, whatever thou wilt ask God, God will give it thee. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Yeah, we know, in the last day. But then he tells her, if you'll believe, shut up that negative talk and believe. Jesus didn't get in the flesh and rush to the side of his friends. Jesus followed the Spirit. He waited 4 days, and I'm sure he was collecting his thoughts, meditating over the situation, and getting instructions from God on what to do. I want to read to you a faith food. This was August 31st. I thought it was really good. What to do with that? Here it is. This is Brother Hagin called Obeying Your Spirit. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Did you notice that meditating in the Word, practicing the Word, and giving the Word first place, the first three steps in training the human spirit, come before obeying your spirit? If your spirit has had the privilege of meditating in the Word, of practicing the Word, or putting the Word first, then your spirit is an authoritative guide. In the process of time, if you follow the four steps we have just studied, you can know the will of God even in all the minor details of your life. But for this to happen, God's Word, not human reasoning, must dominate your thinking. The Word has been given to us by the Holy Spirit. If the Word is dominating us, then the Holy Spirit is dominating our thinking. The written Word has given to us to develop, shape, form, and fit our spiritual nature, and nothing but the Word will accomplish this. Reading about the Word won't do it. That's the reason why God wants us to meditate in His Word. Here's the confession. God's Word is good. I meditate in God's Word. I observe to do what His Word teaches. My way shall be prosperous. I shall have good success in life. Okay. Brother Hagin tells of the story of a man that invested in the stock market and never lost any money. So when he had an opportunity come, he would go into his prayer closet and he would, you know, wait before the Lord until the Lord spoke. And then whenever whatever the Lord spoke, that's what he did, and he never lost a penny. You could say he meditated, waited on the Lord. What does meditation do? It forms a plan, a vision, or a direction. And like I've taught y'all, I follow the peace that passes all understanding. Philippians 4, 6 through 9, let peace make the call. Focus on what's good and lovely of good report. And let peace make the call. Meditating on good things. And then he will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Not thinking on the bad things. And then we can say, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. All right, get peace to move ahead. Peace makes the call like an umpire in a ball game. All right? When you live this way, there is no looking back, no second guessing, but a knowing I've done the right thing. This makes for a peaceful life. Ever go and buy something and think, why'd I buy that? I don't want that. You will stay in the Spirit and out of the flesh. Walking in the Spirit releases the grace to accomplish. God's going to grace what he condones, what he leads. He's not going to grace your works or what just your stuff, just what you do. But meditating God's word, it goes from mental assent to spirit action. All right, this is Jesus. Okay, that's good. Jesus 633 or 663. Anyway, I'll just read this to you. This is Young's literal translation. The Spirit it is that is giving life. The flesh doth not profit anything. The Spirit sayings that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. All right, this is another health food. Brother Hagin, it was the next day. He said, I knew a Baptist woman who was only 36 years old and had cancer. She was bedfast and wasn't supposed to live very long. A Baptist pastor who had seen the light on divine healing visited her each day and read scriptures to her and prayed. However, she remained bedfast. This pastor would walk to her house because she didn't live far from the parsonage where he lived. As he was walking home one day, he said, Lord, I don't understand. I mean, we're believing you for healing. This woman says that she believes the scriptures. She believes the scriptures I'm reading to her. As soon as I said that, the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, no, she doesn't believe. She's just mentally agreeing to them. If she believed them, she would be out of bed and doing her work. I agreed with someone many years ago about something, and they passed away just a few months ago. It was like they were banking on my faith, and they didn't do anything themselves. You know? You can't do that. You can't do that. The next day, he went back to her house and began reading scriptures to her. She said, yes, I believe that. And he said, no, you don't. If you believed it, you'd be out of bed doing your housework. Well, she looked at him sort of startled as if he had slapped her, but she got it. She said to him, you go in the next room and I'll get up. She put on her house coat, that tells you how long ago that was, and left. And when her husband came home, he found her up well cooking the evening meal. That Baptist pastor said to me, 19 years have come and gone and she's still well and healed. She's still doing her housework. Someone might say, well, I believe I'll try that. It won't work by trying it. She didn't try it. She did it. She got the word down into her spirit. She didn't just mentally act on what God said. There is a difference. Don't act presumptuously or foolishly. Let the word get down on the inside of you. Then you can act in faith. And when you do, results will follow. A lot of times, I believe that we act independently of God saying, now it's time to rise and walk. We're trying to harvest ourselves. It's as if a man, the kingdom of God, as if a man, he goes to bed, he gets up, he sows a seed, goes to bed, gets up. And when the harvest is right, you put in the sickle. In other words, we're wanting to harvest right now when we don't have full corn in the ear. Chewing the cud. This is the chewing of the food that is not digested. We do a lot of confessing, a lot of talking, but we need to be chewing and meditating on the Word of God. When we get it fully digested, we can see the vision. Once it's digested, It's part of you. It becomes real. The hidden man of the heart gets it. And that's the scripture Jesus spoke. The words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Okay. Here's a good gauge to tell you if you are fully digested. You'll know that you've fully digested the Word of God and you're ready to step out in faith if you don't have any drawing back in your mind. No hesitating, no doubting. Now that's a double-minded man. No hesitating, no doubting. You just sit there knowing, yeah. And you got that smooth feeling on the inside, or that's the way it's been for me. You must go from thinking so to knowing so. Mental assent is think so. Know so is when you act. You know so. You know that you know that you know. Think so accommodates the symptoms and occupies the thoughts. Think so. Know so, act so, disregards the symptoms and takes no thought of them. And remember this, last thought will be done. It's okay to make confessions, for it renews your mind. Meditation forms the creation that you desire. Meditate first, then when the picture is clear, usually you will have the peace then to act.